At this time, we're going to take up the tithes and offerings at the end of each service from now on. And there's a reason for that. It's because God, here a few weeks ago, I was going over the affairs of the church, and we were going through some struggles, not only with our church, but other ministers have been going through a lot of struggles, and I just got quiet before the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know, I need some answers on the issue of the church, the prosperity message, and the people, their giving. I need some answers because it seems like everyone's falling short in order for things to succeed with. How many of you feel that you're falling short in your own personal finances? Can I see your hands? Don't be ashamed. Well, there's something there that needs to be worked with or dealt with, if that's the case. And of course, we as a church, we find ourselves falling short. You get up to a certain level and you live there for a while, then it drops. It calls for sirens to go off. And so then you have to do the appropriate things that are necessary to get down. And sometimes it can be costly, especially with the church. Then on the other hand, you want the anointing of God to flow. You want it to flow within the church. You want it to flow within the personal lives of people that are present. And you want it to flow through those that are itinerating and moving about. And sometimes it's a very difficult thing when the issue of money plays a major role in everything. It's almost like spirituality is put in second place to that which is natural. Did you notice that success always ends up in the natural? Or failure always ends up in the natural? How many of you ever noticed that? You know, we can feel good on the inside, but we also like to feel good on the outside. We like just as much success in the natural as you do it in the inner working of our heart. And so the Lord had shared with me, He says, I don't want you to get ahead. He says, I'm going to give you the wisdom that is necessary to bring understanding into several areas that you've always wanted understanding in. But He says, I'm going to give it to you on a weekly basis, just kind of like tearing off a little bit of bread here and a little bit of bread there as you go along. And He says, if you'll obey me and take it one week at a time, He says it's going to be easier for the people to understand and receive, and they're going to get answers to what they've always longed to have an answer for. And here I am, on one hand, hearing the prosperity message in a way that doesn't tally up or doesn't quite meet the principles of my Father's heart. It's almost like giving to get outside of the range of the nature of God, what He is in nature. Then on the other hand, you've got the other camp who is preaching as close to what truth is that you know, but you still have some questions that they bring up. Are you following me? That you're not quite sure about. And so you lay these questions out before God, difficult ones, and you're seemingly not getting any answers. But you really are, because I pray out of my spirit. I give my spirit to God daily. And I love it when He gives me a statement or a verse that complements scripture or statement. And it gives me the opportunity to keep that thing before me, because I know that God's going to take that statement or that scripture or whatever it is, and He's going to bring an understanding to that mind or that scripture. Amen? That's how He's always done it for me for years. So some questions come up, and I put them up before God. And how many of you know that God wants you to be blessed? He does want you to be blessed. There isn't any of you here wouldn't desire to have natural things. Unless there's somebody here that's totally sold out to God and that you don't live in a home, you live in a cave. And, you decided not to get married because you want to sacrifice your entire being to God. I don't think we have too many cave dwellers unless they're street people. You know. But I don't see God working that way. I see God not only blessing your life, but I see God blessing the church. And I see the church having an abundance where it could bless the needy. Amen? Why isn't that happening? I know that the anointing is there and is capable of doing that. It's very interesting. The church will be attacked by the body. And yet the church is only responsible for what the body gives it. And sometimes we're criticized by not being able to have enough to give when we should. And you know, I found that the greatest complainers are the ones that never have any money. I found that you don't have to be rich to have a money problem. You can be poor and have a money problem. I don't even have a good healthy amen on that one. But let me say this. Finally, God began to give me some answers. This morning in fellowship, I said, God, I've had these little satellite things. You speak to me all week long. I want some answers. I want an answer on the tithe. I want an answer on the tithe. I know what an offering is. It's a struggle with the tithe that seems to get everybody. I got the answer. I said another thing I want is I want the question on the curse. Can we receive a curse if we don't participate financially into the kingdom of God? How many of you have heard that? Oh, yeah. Malachi is a good example. Matter of fact, that's a good place to start. Turn over to Malachi. Chapter 3. You know why this particular passage so intrigues me? Thank God for Dave Roberson, the laws of meditation. But this has always intrigued me for years, and God gave me an answer to understanding Malachi. But he added some things to it that I hadn't seen before. And I was listening to some other tapes from some of the mentors whom I highly appreciate and esteem. They still wasn't giving me some answers in my heart and kingdom of God concerning the issues of money. And this is what really puzzled me. I've seen Christians with the right heart in their understanding, but yet I didn't see a blessing on their life. Case in point, one of them is me. In case you hadn't figured that out by now. Because when I want some answers financially, I'm also in the center of that situation. Can I hear it? Amen. Amen. You know, we always preach on money, and this series is not going to be putting a responsibility on me. It's going to be putting a responsibility on you and me. But thank God for some answers. Well, Sue and I were in the kitchen. I forgot what we were doing, and we heard a well-known speaker on TV come on, and he started calling us God robbers. If we didn't tithe, and Sue looked at me and she says, I don't know whether I agree with that or not. And I said, well, I don't, because I know the nature of my Father. And he ain't going to put a curse on anybody that has not given him the money that is necessary for him to run his operation. The world does that. God is greater than this world. You know, when you're dealing with God, I got a surprise for you. This is a revelation. You might as well write it down. When you're dealing with the kingdom of God, you're dealing with supernatural aspects. But when you're dealing with money, how many believe that it's so natural in its aspects? How can we make the two work? Well, we can. Thank God. So in Malachi, a very interesting little book, because we know from the content that somebody got out of fellowship with God. And it started showing up in the area of the tithe and the offering, because God brings attention to that. Well, God being agape, the one question that I always had is, if God is agape, even then, agape, then I have to understand the principles by which God dealt with the Old Testament person. Do you know how God dealt with the Old Testament believer? By example. In what? By example through law. And, of course, when you read in the Old Testament, there are passages that many of us New Testament believers are just like not paying attention to, because you don't understand the life and nature and character of God. When you read them, it freaks you out. Case in point, like the children of a family where the child seemingly couldn't get control. The parents couldn't get control of the child. So they had the option to take the child before the priesthood for judgment. And if the priest warranted that the child was irreparable, kind of like a machine, you know, they'd take him out and kill him. Mm-hmm. So you as a parent in the Jewish nation, you wanted your kids to turn out right. Why? It might cost you your kids when you have to bring them to judgment. Well, once I understood a little bit about how that judgment was administered, it relieved me a little bit to understand or to know that the children were not little kids that were in rebellion. The children grew to an age of accountability according to Jewish law. And then they were responsible to join into the economy of the Jewish nation. And as they diverted the economy, the results would go back on the responsibility of the parents to see to it that the child then was corrected. So it wasn't like taking your innocent little children before the priest and they'd take them out and stone them. You know, but all of that is by example. Why? Well, we don't literally do that today. I mean, I wouldn't take Rebecca and Lindsay and Tim when they made mistakes before the church and ask them to administer judgment on them, because they're now accountable for what they're not doing. That is not the issue at all. What is the issue from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Can anybody tell me what is the issue? Now, we're going to talk about money, but we got to settle some issues. God wants me to settle this issue before we go on about money. How was things administered in the Old Testament? Can anybody tell me? Oh, say it real loud. By law. By law. Well, that's a big word. Say it. By law. God administered. How many of you would like to be under law?
No thanks.
Well, you are. Did you know every one of you are under law? Every one of you are. It amazes me how some people will argue, well, the Old Testament, you know, the Old Testament law is done away with. Really? Oh, yeah. Well, what about New Testament law? There ain't no New Testament law. Oh, there isn't. What about scriptures that says now the Old Testament law is fulfilled in the New Testament believer's heart? How does that work? Let me ask you something. Is there such a thing as a righteousness to the law, Old Testament? Give me a law that would express that, would not say it real loud. That's the one I was looking for. Not to covet. Not to covet. Well, how many of you agree that's an Old Testament law? Can I see your hands? Guess what? If we're New Testament, we're not under that law. Guess what? We can covet. Why not? I got scripture that says we have a right to lust. We have a right to covet. You know what it's called? The gifts of the Spirit. Isn't that right? I got scripture that'll validate my covetousness. Well, let's go a step in the obvious direction that maybe we understand. I have a right to covet another man's wife.
No.
Oh, I don't. I'm not under law. We better pray. Some of you are, where is he going? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you anoint me to deliver the word accurately, and Father, choosing the words that are necessary for our understanding, because we're going to deal, Father, with the issues of money that you placed in my heart a little bit this morning, next week a little bit more, next week, and I'm looking forward to it. But I thank you so much. If today is any taste of what's to come, I'm excited. I'm excited. And so, Father, I thank you for my mentors and my teachers, but I thank you most of all for the Holy Ghost, because he can remove a whole lot of confusion in the camp, in Jesus' name. We want to be under that anointing. Thank God for men, but we want to be under the anointing of the understanding that the Spirit gives, in Jesus' name. Anoint the ears of the hearers to hear, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Voila. Amen. Did I get an amen out of any of you? You know what that means? So be it. Okay. Let's read Malachi. Let's go to a verse that we don't read much in Malachi. Verse 7. Or verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed, even from the days of your father. You are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, man. And all nations shall be shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept this ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now, why would he even say that? Well, number one, their repentance was not real. Their repentance was not real. Now, I want you to notice something that's very interesting. He says, you have said it is a vain to serve God. But you know what he said? He said in verse 12 that his desire was that all nations would call them blessed. All nations would call them blessed. Now let me ask you something. What is that telling us? Did you know that God wants his people to be an example of serving him? Amen? He does. Now, he doesn't, I don't think that he wants us to be an example of serving mankind out of ignorance. Because mankind that is ignorance outside of the kingdom of God don't know how to interpret things properly. That's why we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 8 in this series. But I'm going to tell you something. The unbeliever especially does not understand how to look at God's people as an example for a blessing. Why? because they are thieves and they are robbers and they only have the mentality of getting your money. That's all the world cares about. Then on the other hand, you've got the church wanting to get a hold of your money. Now, isn't it interesting when the church rises up and starts preaching a message of prosperity and God wants you to be blessed, all of a sudden the unbeliever rises up and says, see, all they want is money, and yet they're the biggest culprits of all. Because everything in your life, these people come up with avenues through which to make you a promise just to get your money, and in the end, you'll pay for it by your rock-bottom labored hands. Do I hear an amen? Amen? The world wants your money. It's just a wrong spirit. Do you know God desires your money? Are you ready? But with the right spirit. And guess who else is in the equation that wants your money? Can anybody guess who's left out? Take your finger and go like this. Me. Me. You want your money. I had to laugh at Gary. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. He decided to get into school and learn how to invest. And I said, well, how's it going, Gary? And he says, well, he says, it was good. It was great. He says, but I got out of it. And I says, why, Gary? And he says, I want money now. He says, I need the cold hard cash, you know. I thought that was amazing. Because if anybody could give you an answer to where the world's coming from, it would be somebody that got involved in learning a little bit about it in order to have any credibility in what he says. And that man, I have credibility in what he says about money. You follow what I'm saying? On the other hand, I don't know how many people I have met that were investors. My best friend was a trader. Broke flat. He saw $4 million go down the tube in 9 hours. But I got news for you. What are we going to do about believers who do everything under the sun to understand money concerning clothing the outer man, even for retirement? But they don't have anything to do with money and investing for another kind of retirement. It's called moving into the eternal state. We don't look at money beyond the natural. But did you know money goes beyond the natural? It goes into the eternal state. Why? Because the power that is in money. Do you know money has power? Yes, it does. You know, people seem to think, you know, the Bible's very clear. Money answereth all things. How many understand what I'm talking about? Money answereth all things. We got Christians believing for the great lotto drop. You know what I think about that? Keep it up. If you love me, I'll get a part of the money drop. By your accident. So I ain't going to criticize people that want to spend money on the lotto. I will criticize a person that spends money on the lotto to the point he don't pay his bills. But if you got a dollar or two and you want to drop it into lotto, that's fine. I ain't going to kick you for you investing a dollar or two into lotto. Why? Because you might win, and I want to be a recipient of what you might win. I don't want somebody to come up and say, I'm leaving this church. You didn't believe in the lotto, and I won it. How much did you win? $150 million. And you're going to leave me? That's the time I want to hook up with you the most. Not because I want your almighty dollar. It's the power that's in money that can be used for the kingdom of God, not the lust of it. Are you following me? The problem is, when Christians have won the lotto, they did it at the expense of their spirituality. The first lotto winner in the state of Washington was a lady that actually got on the Johnny Carson show. Nobody knows where she's at today. Last time they heard, she became an alcoholic. Her husband left her. She won all this money. And then it came out in the woodwork what she was made up of. Boy, money will tell you what you're made of. You know. Now, what is God saying here? If God is agape, and he makes a statement, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that bring me in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to retain it. Now I'm going to share something with you. God spoke to me one day, and I said, God, you are agape. I don't care whether you were God. In the Old Testament, still you had an agape heart. And that's why God always dealt with him by law, because of contrary to his nature, for example. Why? So that when you come into the New Testament kingdom and you get born of God, you have that life and nature of God on the inside of you, fulfilling and completing the Old Testament law, because he's able to write them on the tablets of your heart. He said he removed them from stone. Why? Because they didn't have the life and nature of God in them. For God to etch anything in them, he had to do it on stone. But New Testament, he writes in the issues of his laws on the tablets of fleshly hearts. Your heart. Now, I tried to figure that out one time, and I saw God etching the Ten Commandments in my real physical heart. It's not what it's referring to. It's an example. He's saying he writes the law of God on the tablets of your hearts. In other words, what you're made up of. The heart. I can hear John Shear's voice today. What about the heart? The heart. The heart. What about the heart? We've got spirit. We've got soul. We've got inner man. What about the heart? Well, I had that question here lately addressed to me by God. Pastor, what about the heart? Got it all figured out. He says, oh, you do. You don't ever want to tell God you've got it figured out. You're in for a correction. I was putting together my day and night meditation series. And usually when you go over things, if you're in error, God puts a little bit more correction. And he comes down, and I'm doing a passage here on the issue of the heart. And God says, what about the heart? I says, don't worry, I got it all figured out, God. He says, really? I went, well, evidently I don't when you start addressing me that way. What do I need to know? And he says, well, I want you to look that word heart up again. And look at it real carefully. And I went, okay. Because I got it figured out this far. The word heart and the word spirit, it is impossible to use them interchangeably. The word heart should never be translated spirit. I know we've had people teach us that and everything. But my brain always looked locked up. But because of my mentor, I accepted it. But I remember my mentor telling me one day, you'll build on top of my revelation because you've got to go further. And boy, when somebody reminded me that, it set me free to accept what God was telling me. Now, notice, will a man rob God? Well, if God is agape, then do you think that God is saying that you are cursed with a curse because you haven't given me my money? Is that agape? You know what agape is? Never self-seeking. It's never for the purpose of his own interest in heaven. He's never done that. Even in the Old Testament, he never did that. Why? Because he wanted the money to go into the storehouse. Why? Because the storehouse is where everyone is blessed by the storehouse. Interesting. And I says, well, where does the robbing come from? And he says, well, it's right there in your face. Here's where the robbing comes from. You're robbing me of the ability to pour out the blessing. Amen. That's right. Amen. I want, oh, duh. God is more considerate of the fact that he can't pour you the blessing out because you're the one stopping it, not him. That's his heart. And you sit there, well, yeah, but it's got a question mark, it's got commas, all that. And listen, in the original Hebrew, there the translators put that stuff in there. Did you know that? Did you know New Testament? You know it was written in Greek? It was all capital letters. Then they had minuscules, all small letters. They didn't have capital letter and small letter and capital letter and small letter like our English does. It was all one or the other. And no punctuations. Well, how did we figure out how it was to be punctuated? Your translators. And I find there's where we get into error, is because we're more duped by our translators than by understanding the heart and life and nature of our Heavenly Father. And he says, they were robbing me of the ability to pour out the blessing because they didn't observe the tithe and the offering. I gave them those means to pour out the blessing. But then on the other hand, we got this issue. Well, Malachi doesn't belong to a New Testament believer. Well, then what about the principles that are mentioned in Malachi? You mean to tell me that if the principles that are mentioned in Malachi is then also done away with, that we should have no consideration of blessing the kingdom of God whatsoever, so the blessing can fall on us? Just blot that out because the tithe is done away with? Well, that's another issue. Is the tithe done away with? Well, let me tell you. Did this tithe start before law or after law? What? Was it before? Was it before? Of course it was. Well then, what happened to the tithe during law? I'm sure glad you guys are asking me these questions. I'll tell you what happened to the tithe during law. Are you ready? The law that was instituted, or the tithe that was instituted before law, had no law. Now, are you ready? Who was the originator of the tithe? I'll say it real loud. Abraham. Remove thy shoes. Abraham. Who is Abraham? The what? The father of what? Well, this is a word church. Abraham, was he not the father of the natural Jew as well? Thank you. You guys are thinking spiritual here on me. I'm trying to get this natural thing here established first. Well, if that's the case, are you ready? Then what happened to the tithe during law? Was it done away with? Or was it something happened to it? Can anybody tell you what happened to it? What happened to the tithe? It became part of the law? It became part of the law? Well, let me tell you this. When the law was established through Moses, guess what? The law was added to the tithe. The law was added to the tithe. What does that mean? You don't give, you don't get. Now, was that the way the tithe was before the law? The father, Abraham, went and blessed somebody with a tenth of his income, or his increase, and God honored that through by giving to Melchizedek. Amen? Now, what happens if the giving was by law and you didn't do it? What would happen? The big C word. Curse. A curse would come on you. And he spells it out in Malachi here, where the adversary comes in. And here's how we read it. You didn't give me my money, I'm going to sick the devil on you. That's the way we read that. You God robber, you've robbed me, I'm sicking the devil on you. Let me ask you something. If that's the case, going back to a Jew, the Jew had it in his heart to see to it God got his tenth. Why? Because he had a spirit of lust about him. Why? He would give to God because he knew that God had to give him back. That's why the Jewish nation, even today, has a spirit of lust on them, because they know that when you hang around with the God, you're going to be blessed. And so what they would do is they would see to it that God got his tenth, and even an offering. Why? Because they were religious. Are you following? They want to appease God. Well, what about the little widower with the mite? She come along and she gave all that she had, and she threw it in a treasure, and Jesus turned around and commended her, giving more than the others, and the others gave tithes and offerings. Isn't that interesting? That was under Old Testament law. So she was even violating Old Testament law, because the law was added to the tithe. I'm just going to stir up your pure minds. Okay, then what about today? If we don't tithe, is a curse going to come upon us? Well, let's go back to Malachi. If they weren't given the tithes and the offerings, and the window of heaven wasn't opening up, God, they actually restrained God from giving. What makes it any different today? We who don't have law. What makes it any different? You mean to tell me there's an exception to the rule for us? Then what do you do when you get over into like Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, where it talks about, I think it's Corinthians, it talks about being grafted in, and if you violate the dispensation of grace, what makes you think you're going to escape what they thought they were going to, what they didn't escape from? You were engrafted in the natural tree, meaning the natural Jew. Where does that come in? Where does that come in? Well then, I think the first step we need to take is to understand the issue of the heart. Not the law, the heart. That would be the first step, the issue of the heart. How many of you are broke and you need money? You need a job? You need some place to go to even appease and find peace? Anybody around here that way? You don't have to raise your hands. Well, of course there is. Hallelujah. We're going to change that because we're going to get under the anointing of God. That's what it's all about. You know, somebody said, God's going to increase my anointing, and yet everything they were doing was so weird, I don't know how God could anoint them. It caused me to check up on the anointing. Thank God I was enlightened about the anointing. It sure wasn't what they were amplifying. All they were doing was trying to look for an escape route for responsibility. That's all it was. Thinking that they were deceiving themselves in this anointing. Did you know there's a place of an anointing you can get with God in your finances? Have you ever thought of that?
Yes.
I have. Just here more than ever. And I got news for you. I don't feel all that blessed. And I got some other news for you. I'm kind of walking in a little bit of curse. Now, did God give me that curse? Absolutely not. But here's the problem. The same mind... Are you ready? The same mind that brought the curse is the same mind that handles the money. God told me, he says, do you believe in the blessing? Absolutely. Amen. Ha ha ha. Bring it on. He says, and why you got this curse on you? I said, I don't know, but bring it on. He said, because the same mind that wants it brought on is the same mind that operates in the curse. And let's go back to Malachi. You think God was up there saying, oh, you ripped me off. You robbed me of my money. You did, huh? All right, a curse is going to fall on you. When you change your heart, I'll get the devil off your back. Uh-uh. The same mind that refused to open up the windows of heaven is the same mind that brought the devil on. Call people. P-E-O-P-L-E. The whole reason that God wants you involved financially into His kingdom is so... The same mind that gets you involved in His kingdom financially is the same mind that keeps the devil out of your life. So, let's deal with the issue of the heart. Let's deal with that before we go any further in this area. Oh, Pastor, you're saying a curse can come on me. I'm not saying a curse can come on you. I'm saying if you're in impoverished conditions and you don't have money and you can't pay your bills and whatever else, what would you call that? A diverted blessing? Well, what would you call it? A temporary pause to the blessing? We'll do anything to get out of the fact that a curse could come on us. Listen, the reason you're there is you're already operating in it. And God wants to remove your stinking way of thinking so you can be blessed. And you can't do that with God left out of the equation, because God is the only one that can give you the right kind of mind to understand how you can be blessed. God spoke to me. A businessman came up to me. They used to go here. He says, I want God to bless my finances, and I want it to flow like a river. And God says He has the mind to bring the money, not the commitment for my blessing. And I said, what do you mean? He says, because the issues of his heart is he's still handling his money. He hasn't given it to me yet. And I turned to him and I said, why don't you give your money to God? And he went, what are you talking about? And I said, you want that thing to succeed? I'll pray, but you got to give your mind to God first. Did you know that when you give your mind to God, you'll turn into a blessing, not a curse? Why? Because God don't teach you how to live in poverty. He teach you how to get out of poverty and be an example to a world and yet not a money grubber at the same time. We got scripture on that. Well, what about the issues of the heart? Well, if it can't be used interchangeably with the word spirit, then how does the heart function? Well, I used to make this statement that the heart is made up of the inner man, soul, and spirit. And then when God caught my attention and said, well, I want the heart clarified there. And so I went back into scripture. That's always the place to go. Amen. And I started looking up the word heart. And I kept hearing the heart and the spirit are interchangeable, all this and that. And then I got to looking at them scripture again. I said, wait a minute. How did they read that in there? That is not what I'm reading here. So we're going to read what it says about the heart. Okay? I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start there. And I want to clarify something that's very interesting. How many of you made mistakes with money? I can see your hands on that one, because I'm going to put my hand up there big time. I'm going to put two hands up. I didn't make one mistake. I made many. Can I see your hands? Oh, wow. Thank you. I feel good now. What I'm about to share with you. You're going to hear some things you've never heard before in this series. So I want you to stay plugged into me through this whole series. I'd like you to come and make notes. Get pencil and paper out. I'm not going to, we is not going to type up everything I say. June sitting there, June goes. We're going to cover that issue. That's a good breaking place. Now we're going to go on. TV. Praise God. In Ephesians 1, let's start with verse 1. That's a good place to start. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Pastor, this is talking about spiritual things, not natural. Really? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Isn't that interesting? We have been placed as sons and daughters into His kingdom according to the good pleasures of His will. Can I hear an amen? Amen. According to good pleasures of His will. Remember when we talked about Ephesians chapter 2, when it got down, He has created us? And literally, that word literally means the most, He put the most perfect perfection into His creatability when He got you born again. Finest work been done on the inside of you. Now notice what He says here. To the praise of the glory of His grace, to the praise of the glory of His grace, say this, His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Oh, I love that. Woo! In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. People, if you only knew what He was saying. Now notice this. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Oh, I like that. How did He do this? How did He do this? He says in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purposed possession unto the praise of His glory. He gave us a down payment until our physical body from heaven we reside in. That's what He said. Well, what is the earnest of the Spirit? He tells you in verse 13, the Holy Ghost. When you first accepted Christ and trusted in Him, He gave you a down payment, which is the earnest of your inheritance, called Holy Ghost. Amen. How many of you can say Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost? You have inside trader information that the world has no ability to tap in whatsoever. If you want to talk about a stock market insight, Holy Ghost is the one. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something real quick like here. Go back to this word in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, plural, according to the riches of His grace. And you know something? I have an interlinear, and I read that verse out of the interlinear, and I went into shock because He used a word that should have been there. And finally, He told me what it was. How many of you made mistakes with money? Can I see your hands? Thank you. How many of you deliberately made mistakes with your money? Can I see your hands? Thank you. How many, if the same hands might go up, how many of you deliberately made mistakes with knowing that you made it? It was by chance, but now you want a new direction. Can I see your hands? Uh-oh. Now the grace is starting to flow again. Now why did I even bring that up? This verse has something to do with an inheritance that has been predestined for us according to an eternal weight of glory. Notice verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, and notice this, and which are on earth. In Him. In Him. This word dispensation is a very interesting Greek word. It was translated stewardship. Stewardship. But when I looked at the Greek word, they gave the English under word stewardship. But do you know actually what that word is in the Greek? Economy. 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 The economy of our inheritance? Can I hear an amen? Let me ask you something. If you're going to be a good investor, would you invest in a bank that has a potential of misuse? Or would you invest in a bank that you sought out and found it to be reliable? Now notice this. Verse 7 set me free. You know why? Because I made so many mistakes with my money with God, I didn't see a way out. I did. And I hadn't realized that the major portion of my incurring the greatest mistakes financially for me was not when I was in fellowship with God. It was always when I was out of fellowship with God. Isn't that interesting? I'm just being honest with you people. You know, God told me not too long ago, about three years ago, He says, Jan, He says, I want to bless you. And I had such condemnation on myself. I said, how can you bless me? I don't have anything. I don't have anything. He says, that's why I want to bless you. Because you have nothing. How many of you feel that you've abused the kingdom of God with your money and that you would like that to turn around? Yeah. Every one of you should have your hand up. Because there ain't none of you been perfect with the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I'm not trying to put you under law. I'm trying to put you under the facts of responsibility as of life. Now, notice what he says here. In whom we have redemption through this little passage of this inheritance, this dispensation of inheritance. He says that through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Riches of his grace. Now I want you to go down in verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You know what God told me? He says, I have in the natural resources I haven't tapped into yet that really belongs to me. And I says, well, how come I'm not tapping into it? He says, because you're tapping into the legend of your own mind rather than into the understanding of the wisdom that I abound towards you. And he says, I'm going to set you free. And I says, how are you going to set me free? And he says, verse 7. And I said, how's that going to set me free? He says, you, Mr. Greek Gleek. He says, you look at your interlinear. And I looked at it and I went into shock. How many of you know that Jesus paid the price for the sins of the whole world? Was that the sin of harmatia? Or was that the sin of trespasses? Huh? The sin of what? Trespasses. Well, when you understand the Greek language and how beautiful it depicts the kingdom of God, and you understand the differences in the words, now he could have used another word there for trespass, and he didn't even use that one. You know what word he used for the word trespasses here? That according to the riches of his grace, by the forgiveness of these trespasses? Here it is. The word trespass, when it's ever this particular word is used, it means a false step, a mistake. It even means when you're caught off guard. Now listen to this. It's really when you've done things more in an ignorant manner. It means that you stepped over the line, you trespassed into an area that you didn't do it intentionally or deliberately. You did a mistake or a blunder or an accident, and all of a sudden you realized you were in some territory you didn't belong, and now you've got to find a way to get back. And I was trying to find a way to get back, but condemnation kept violating my conscience because I trespassed. The fact that I was under condemnation, the fact that I overstepped the line, that brought a condemnation on me and robbed me of the victory of having faith in God being able to bless me back. And then the prosperity message comes along and says, you ain't going to be blessed back because you hadn't sown anything in order to get blessed back with. All you've done is just take care of the house of God. That robs you of faith. God says, you want to get free? Here's how you're going to get free. In spite of your many mistakes, God has a wealth of riches of grace as long as you're doing a trespass and not a harmatia. Well, what in the world is the difference between a paratoma and a harmatia? A big difference. A harmatia means one who literally is stepping away of a governing principle knowingly. It means one who is not in an ignorant state, but is deliberately missing the mark. Where the one trespass means one who doesn't really have a revelation, he's missing the mark. But if you get him back on track,
He'll not miss that mark. Why? Because he's not performing a harmatia. He's not trying to walk out of his responsibility. He's trying to walk into his responsibility. But he doesn't know where the geographical boundaries lie so he can do it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me something here. When he talks about our inheritance, it literally means that you're going to make mistakes, but there's enough riches in his grace to cover you so you can go and obtain what belongs to you. Not only in heaven, but also the verse we read, in earth. Isn't that good news? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Now I've activated my faith in such a way that I'm not going to bring myself there. I'm going to bring you with me. We're going to have victory together. Did you guys get something here today? Glory to God. Well, next Sunday, we're going to cover the issue of the heart. That's a very interesting subject. And we'll look at some verses that talk about the heart, such as, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, the end of the commandment is agape, charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith. Unfeigned, which literally means sincere. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto sincere love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Oh man. I'm going to tell you something, people. We're going to have a good time. But the thing is, I'm going to place you right under the anointing of God. You're going right under the anointing of God. Every one of you is going to get right under the anointing of God. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't because I have my interest first. It's because we all want to get under the anointing. You want under that anointing? I do. My wife will testify, we do. Huh, honey? We do. Why? So we can get things. I hope not. Or forget the anointing. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Oh, I was going to just sit down. See, you guys are offering. I'm sorry. I slipped. The reason I want to hold the offering to last, because I know that God will speak to every one of your hearts. Some of you haven't been involved in the kingdom of God. And you know something? Well, I can't even give a tithe. So what? Give something. Give something. It's activation. You know how you release your faith is you put action to it. And I want you all to do something with me. I want you to all say this with me. Father, I will understand the kingdom finances. I will understand them. I don't want to be under a curse that's created by me. I want to be under the blessing. It's created by you. Oh, amen and amen. Well, with that, raise your hands. The ushers will be glad to give you an envelope. And this is not an ploy to get more money out of you. This is a ploy to get you under the anointing of God. If you want me to give you a ploy, then I don't have it in my heart to do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody get an envelope. Okay, go ahead and fill them out. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was going to read out of Amplified, but we'll wait. We're going to have such a good time. What are we going to learn next week? Say it real loud. The heart. We're going to learn about our heart. Our heart has to be purified. Amen? Well, if I'm born again, and the word heart's used interchangeably with the word spirit, I don't have to purge my heart. It's already purged. Interesting. What do these verses fit in? They just tack there for confusion. Dear Heavenly Father, right now we're about to receive from your people. And Father, you promised... You promised me the Word of God would return 100-fold in my lifetime. Not money, but the Word of God. And Father, I want a 100-fold return on the Word of God more than anything else. Not talking about bucks here, Father. And I know that's not what you meant. You meant the 100-fold return on the Word of God. And that's what we want. Because then dollars will come under the authority of that Word. And so, Father, as your people give here today, may they give not out of necessity, but of a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Bob, you got something you want to share?
Yeah. It's been a long time since I did one of these. Good morning. What do y'all know about next Saturday?
Sweetheart banquet,
right? Well, we've been talking about our sweetheart today in Malachi. Because he wants to draw us under the tree of life so we can receive that blessing that comes from that fruit and that tree. You know, I was reading in Revelation just a short little stint while you was in that. And it talks about that if you take away from the tree of life, you know, in that book of Revelation, it says that also will be removed from the tree of life that we have to partake of, you know.
Yes.
So anytime we remove that working word in our life, then the word that spring in us, the blessing, is removed also. So anyway, Pam gave me a note here. It was something I was going to also mention, Pam. But it says, I want to encourage you, if you know somebody who is a widow, whose husband or wife is in Iraq, to reach out and ask them to come to the Sweetheart Breakfast next Saturday with you. No one should be left out. We have Jesus Christ, and He is our sweetheart. And every time we read this word, you know, it's a letter of love to us, you know. So as a body, let's reach out to one another and come out there and break bread with each other at that breakfast, you know. We're moving it to 9 o'clock for all you guys that like to sleep in, all you ladies that like to sleep in. It's not only the lazy guys, but ladies like to do that too. So the breakfast is going to start at 9 o'clock. Anybody who would like to help with the breakfast, you know, just go ahead and let the ladies that's in charge, Maxine and Tish and my wife, know. If you'd like to help set up that, we sure enjoy your help. The guys, we're going to be starting cooking a little later, so it won't be 6 o'clock. It'll probably be about 7. And we'll have it out here in this gym at 9 o'clock. We're going to have our breakfast. So I just encourage you to come out and join with us. And make sure today you sign up, because just look around. If we have 300 or 400 people, you know, show up at the door out there, and we only have 5 people signed up, guess what? There'll be a lot more help than there is food. So anyway, make sure you sign up today out here at the foyer. You'll see the table that's got this out there. And what we're going to have to eat is eggs, ham, sausage, biscuits, gravy, pancakes, and toppings with hash browns, juice, coffee, tea, and more. So come on out and find out what the more is. We'll see you there. God bless you.
The more is that manna out of heaven.
I have a note here from Ted. There's no core student or adult leaders meeting today. That's what he said. There is none.
By the way, that reminds me, we need workers in our children's department.
Yes, we do.
You guys need to reach out and donate a day. We got little toddlers and little ones, man, that we need your help. It's only one day a month. You watch, man. Your own kids, if you're having a problem with them, they'll straighten them out. Okay, everybody stand up. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence here. Your presence was here last Sunday, Father. We had a blowout. We enjoy them times. But we also know that we had a blowout today in the Word of God. Hallelujah. You just chose to move differently. But Father, we don't want to close this service without first of all saying, if there be anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'd like for you to confirm my salvation. I know I gave my heart to the Lord, but it just seemed like there's this empty feeling on the inside of me that doesn't want to give confirmation that I'm His beloved. So I want that confirmed today. You know, you must be born again. You can't question that. That's the first step of faith, is to trust in the fact that you are a saved child of God. You're not saved through works. You're not saved through nice thoughts. You're actually saved by getting born again, giving your life to Him.
giving your inner man to Him. Let Him cause you to be born from above so you can inherit eternal life. And He'll work your salvation out as you walk in Him. And if you're here today as a believer and you've been backslid, then I want to encourage you to come forward and restore your relationship and fellowship with Him. Restore your fellowship with Him, not relationship, but fellowship with Him. And if you need healing, it says the elders will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So if I touched any area here that fits you, please step out now and come forward, anybody. Please do it. Hallelujah. Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. Salvation, restoration, healing. Feel free to do that. Anybody? Come forward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come right here. Hallelujah. Well, boy, you seem to be walking pretty good now. Anybody else?